if you're wondering what that intro was, that was Money by Pink Floyd. And welcome to the program, people. It is episode 47 of the Praise the Lords podcast, and the reason that I played that introduction is because of the recent controversy surrounding the legendary psychedelic band. It is the 50th anniversary of their acclaimed Dark Side of the Moon album, one of the best albums ever made, and on their social media, they basically put out a new picture with the word 50 and with the rainbow on it, because on the album cover, if you've ever seen it, is, you know, a triangle with the rainbow shooting out. Now, if you're a fan of Pink Floyd, I would figure you're following them because you're a fan of Pink Floyd and you know about the album and everything, but not these people. So people lost their fucking shit over the fact that it had the rainbow in it. Now, as we all know in modern day times, what the rainbow stands for is the LGBTQ community. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that. You know, that's a very serious conversation that I, that's for another topic. But in this instance, fans are literally triggered, or I'm going to put air quotes around fans, because it's literally like, so I mean, seeing some of the comments, laughing at some of the comments was funny, because I just feel like a lot of them were like boomers who should like know, you know, when that album came out, they should know about it. Like, they should know about the album cover. They should know about the whole kind of history of the album. And instead they're like, oh, what is this Pink Floyd? What a disgrace. I don't listen to this band from now on. Why are you going woke? Is there a straight flag? I want equal representation. Like, no, this has nothing to do. This is not doing a political message. This has nothing to do with anything like that. It's celebrating the 50th anniversary of Dark Side of the Moon, you fucking clowns. Come on. If you're following their page, you should know about it. I'm going to keep repeating that. If you follow their page, you should know about it. Wouldn't you? So you're a fake fan then. I love this album. I'm not going to go ahead and say that I'm the biggest Pink Floyd fan, but I'm also going to say that I love this album. This is one of the greatest albums ever made. Really love this. And it's just sad that we've kind of gone all crazy, that like everything that's posted, I mean, I guess we've been programmed to kind of be like this, but like, you know, as a music fan, like, tell me you don't know music without knowing music. I tweeted that because it's true. If you're following them, you should know about this. Like, give me a break. Because we're all so programmed to be so like triggered and offended on everything. You know, all of us. You know, I'm guilty, you're guilty, everyone's guilty to be triggered in some sort just because of kind of the times we're in. But it's just, it's pathetic, I think. The album came out March 1973. And then I'm reading in this article, the rainbow flag was first shown at a parade in San Francisco in 1978. So I don't think they have a correlation to each other, and it literally has only to do with the album. So just stop reach. Like, all we do is just reach and reach and reach. Like, we're just, you know, conspiracy theories and like, oh, pushing this agenda, pushing that agenda. We're all just so annoying. Like, just be happy that this is the 50th anniversary of one of the greatest albums ever made. And instead, there's a controversy around it, like a non-controversy, really, that was just kind of started by a bunch of idiot boomers who like to comment on Facebook all the time and, you know, had nothing really better to do. I guess retirement is boring for these people. So, oh, I saw this Pink Floyd thing. They're doing the 50th anniversary, and they put a rainbow there. No. It's the album, my guy, my girl, and you know, just shut up. I had to kind of just vent about that, because that's been just bothering me for the last week or so, and it's just been, I've been wanting to talk about it just because it's so stupid. No music, you know, don't go out commenting if you don't know about the music, really. You know, that goes for anything, but in this case, like, just know your music history before coming at like their social pages or just anything. That's my rant for that. I just, but 50 years, and if you've never listened to Dark Side of the Moon, it's incredible. Very psychedelic. Very sounds very modern, too, honestly. But yeah, just sucks that Pink Floyd had to kind of endure that from idiots. But here we are. It's 2023, and it is what it is. Miley Cyrus is back. And, you know, that's take it as it is. It is what it is with Miley Cyrus. I'm no big Miley Cyrus fan. But the song Flowers, I actually kind of really liked. I thought it was a really good jam. It's about basically a lot of subtle messaging towards her ex-husband, actor Liam Hemsworth. I know on TikTok this was a whole thing, like a little trend, I guess, and where it's like they're really like amazed at how Miley kind of did, I think, wore the same dress, was in the same, I think in the same mansion that they were, that they got married in or something like that. So basically a lot of like subtle fuck yous to, her ex. And, you know, on the petty game, that's a 10 out of 10. The song is good too, though. It interpolates, When I Was Your Man by Bruno Mars, which is another great song, but she flips it around. I can buy myself flowers, so basically saying I don't need nobody. And I thought that Miley deserved her flowers on this for me. I just thought it was a really good song. The chorus is catchy. I'll play a little quick snippet. But yeah, like you can hear a little bit of the When I Was Your Man from Bruno. I just thought it's to start off 2023 with a catchy ass pop hit from Hannah Montana herself. You know, Miley's gone through all her fucking phases, as we've seen. We've seen the twerking phase like 10 years ago. We've seen the rapping stage, you know, the Miley Cyrus and her dead pet stage. So this is somewhat of a maturing thing, and musically maturing. I mean, pettiness in terms of the, you know, behind the song and stuff, but I fuck with it. I respect it almost. One of the, you know, pretty good start for a pop song to begin the year. But I just, you know, I thought kudos to her. Had to give that some love right there. And then I also discovered, I knew who this dude was, but I always tried to get around to his music. I just never did. Mac DeMarco. He actually just dropped an instrumental album called Five Easy Hot Dogs. And it's an instrumental album, pretty good, smoothing instrumental album. You know, I'm a sucker for instrumental albums, and it was good. That was kind of my introduction, really, to Mac DeMarco, and then I went down the rabbit hole, and I enjoy some of the projects. You know, some are better than others, but Salad Days I liked, Two I liked, This Old Dog was eh, but talented dude. Worked with Thundercat, worked with Mac Miller. He's worked with a lot of people. Good production from him. It's, I discovered his music through an instrumental album. And, you know, whatever it takes to discover anybody, man, you know. I've discovered a lot of artists in the last few years in just the weirdest ways, whether it be through TikTok, whether it be through friends, whether it be hearing, like, I don't know, something for like a commercial or something, or just hearing like a random YouTube video and just being like, or Shazamming something if I'm like at a bar or something like that. The ways that you could find music nowadays is great. Even, you know, when I was at some concerts, hearing different songs I've never heard of, and then kind of going down the rabbit hole of them, and just, that's just examples. I'm not going to give a specific one, but I saw this on the new albums from Spotify, because I was just music hungry, because I just felt like nothing was really dropping. And, you know, it's still slow. I know we're still in January, but I guess I'm just impatient. I'm always just wanting to hear new shit. Always. I'm always wanting, you know, like ear porn, basically, music. So, Five Easy Hot Dogs was an instrumental album. And he's got some, he's pretty talented, I think. You know, and yeah, I just thought I had to give that one some love too. Your favorite bilingual boy is back also, after the release of, in my opinion, one of his best albums since, God, I think 2015, really, since The Incredible True Story. And that was Logic with Vinyl Days then, but now he's coming back with an independent album called College Park, and he dropped the teaser single. And a couple clips are Boondocks-esque, which is kind of dope. The first single was called Wake Up. Kind of has a really boombastic beat, but I think it was from his producer, Six. This came out a couple weeks ago, the 13th, actually. So literally 2 weeks now that I'm talking about it. I didn't talk about it in my last one, and I was kind of kicking myself after I was done. I was like, oh, shit, I never talked about it. But I thought it deserves its just due as well, where it starts off boombastic. The verses were, for me, were kind of hit or miss. The chorus is, you know, just, I don't know. It's a hype chorus. It's not really like anything to write home about, but for a good hyped first single, the track list is not out yet, but there are a lot of guests on there too. Saw Redman was one of the guests. It's looking good. I want to play the beginning part, because I think the production carried this song very much so. So shout out to Six for that. I believe it was Six who produced that. College Park, his independent debut album, February 24th. This was the first single. I'm going to play a few seconds of it. I don't know. It's got like a hype. It's like hype quality music, you know. Nothing that's going to be a classic or anything, but good hyped first single, kind of like a promotional single, I guess. But it's good. Good to see Logic kind of going back to more of the hip hop roots and not doing the poppy shit that he's been doing, you know, up until Vinyl Days. You know, No Pressure, I thought was okay. Now that I look back on it, but I think he came back better in Vinyl Days. You know, people give him, you know, his shit, and some is well deserved, some is not. But I just kind of like the creative angle that he's kind of just doing whatever the fuck that he really wants to do and not really answering to anybody. So I respect that. But yeah, the song is Wake Up. And I would give it a spin if you haven't listened to it. And then February 24th, College Park comes out. So I'm looking forward to that. Definitely. Ice Spice, if you haven't heard of her, she's been viral for, I think, almost 2 years. You know, I don't know if you've seen, like, you hear the song that Dude's a Munch. Seeing that kind of, like, that's Ice Spice. I'm sure you've seen a picture of her. If you haven't, then. But she came out with her first EP. I have to say it's okay. I think I liked really two songs. I mean, it's a 6-song EP, really. So what can I really get out of that? But the reason I want to talk about it is one song. I like the sample of it has the "I Need a Girl" Part 2, made famous by Diddy, Mario Winans, and whatever other names I'm missing. I apologize, but I thought it's, I think that was the, it's like, you know, she's basically hearing it. She's the female trap version of Favio Foreign, and which is not a bad thing. Although I've said in my, one of my recent podcasts on my worst albums of 2022, that I think Favio is more of a feature artist, because I didn't think his album, he could hold it together for a whole album. But I think Ice Spice is kind of like a female Favio, where it's very, you know, trap heavy beats. But yeah, she's a decent rapper, I think. I think she's better than what the hell Cardi B has ever spit. But also the one thing that kind of shocked me. Now, again, it's Pitchfork, it's hit or miss. They don't have the same people doing the same, you know, all the music reviews, so that's kind of where it's hard. But they rated it a 7.6, which was shocking, because, I mean, I saw a list of albums. So they gave Kid Cudi's Man on the Moon a 4. which was shocking because that's not a 4. They gave Denzel's Melt My Eyes See Your Future 7.3. That's higher than that. Because the Internet from Gambino, that's higher than a 5. Metro Boomin's Heroes and Villains got a 7.2. Now, this was 7.6. And Metro Boomin's album that dropped last, the end of 2022 was really great. Get Rich or Die Tryin', it's better than. JID's Forever Story has a better rating. Donda Rodeo from Travis Scott. So it's kind of hard for me to bitch in a way if it's like the same person doing the reviews. But it was like, it's not a 7.6. To me, this was like a 5. Because it had, like, again, 2 good songs, in my opinion. Again, the sample of I Need a Girl Part 2 in a trap style. And it was with Lil TJ. The song's called Gangsta Boo. It was a banger. I think that was the banger of the whole EP. And then the Bikini Bottom one. That one was just funny in my eyes just because of the, you know, like kind of the instrumental with the whole Bikini Bottom sound, SpongeBob, that kind of thing. But I don't know. I was just a little disappointed to kind of see that it's rated higher than actual really good projects. You know, this is just kind of like a fun project, but to be rated better than a lot of really good and influential things, like, I mean, better than JID's Forever Story, that shit was fucking incredible. Better than Swimming. Better than Rodeo by Travis Scott? Come on. I don't know. It irked me a little bit, but again, it's not the same people doing the same reviews, so it's kind of hard to really, you know, really give it, you know, go in on it. But I just thought it deserved my attention and my opinion on that one. But Macklemore and DJ Premier actually came together. Now, Macklemore is known to be one of the more corny rappers, in my opinion. I'm sorry, but it's true. You know, The Heist had its moments. And then his second album, Ryan Lewis, had some moments. But then it just kind of started going a little more downhill, a little more poppier, a little more cornier. But yes, but he dropped a song with DJ Premier from his upcoming Ben album. I believe that comes out sometime in March. It's called Heroes, and it's with legendary producer DJ Premier. And I actually thought Macklemore held his own on this, personally, with a hard-hitting DJ Premier beat, and Macklemore actually sounding really good, lyrically focused, and like just flowing good. I'll play a quick snippet of it.
Now I'm with my kids and we watching Olaf, and I'm like, damn, I used to want to be like old dog. Tuck the deuce, deuce under the goose boost, and y'all, couple screws loose, cashier turns poof, I'm gone. 7, I heard NWA.
Yes, it's DJ Premier's production. Oh, he's one of the best. And I think he did us a good service to it. Thank God that this song did not, you know, flop, in my opinion. This is good. Thank God that, Macklemore came through with something not fucking corny. So give that a spin. It's called Heroes with DJ Premier. And then finally, I want to end it on a really, really high note, in my opinion. And that's with Corday and Anderson .Paak back together. Their chemistry is unwarranted. It is fucking dope. With R&P, the first time they collaborated, if you listen to that, if you have never listened to that song, listen to it. It's a nice back and forth battle between the two, and it's a really good song, produced by J. Cole. And then they're back with 2-10s. They've been kind of talking about this for a little over a week, and it dropped a couple days ago. And again, the chemistry is there, the back and forth is there. J. Cole co-produced this one with them joints, who was the main producer, but Cole has some credits on this one. So literally, the three coming together to make another banger, and it's a fucking banger, man. I love it. Anderson's so talented. And then Corday, a mix of the new and the old school. It's beautiful, you know, in my eyes, because, you know, the whole battle between the whole new and the old, he's always been refreshing, but this one was refreshing. 2-10s has a banging beat, really good chorus. Instead of me talking about it, let me preview it for you.
Call it quits, but I'm not. No chances, we all dance in the light. Tell me what's the odds, we can all get a bite.
Okay, the last time we tried that, it didn't end well. Plus, you never know the story that they friends tell.
It's a really good kind of story back and forth of them talking about, like, kind of, you know, inconsistencies with women, blah, 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 you know, the typical rap stuff. But the flow is great. The chemistry is there. The production is there. The chorus is there. Great single to drop. I think one of the best hip-hop singles of the year so far. My process is usually I listen to the song 3-4 times to kind of get a really good idea. And, yeah, this was this hit. You know, Corday's last album from a bird's eye view didn't land, unfortunately. So I hope this is a single to something, whether it be for Anderson or Corday. Hopefully it ends up somewhere onto a really good project, because I think this is worthy of a great album single, because RNP was one of the best songs off of The Lost Boy, which was his debut album, which is an incredible listen. I recommend that. Again, it's a mixture of the old and the new, and I think it's a great balance. But, man, Corday and Anderson .Paak, the chemistry is unbelievable. If they could do a joint album in the future, that'd be awesome. So that one's called 2 10s, and yeah, man, that's all I got for this, week. I think that I covered good things. And you know, you guys should give a lot of this a listen. A lot of good, starting off 2023 on a pretty good high note. I think I'm really looking forward to what this year brings. 2022, I thought, was incredible with music. And 2023 is so far off to a good start. It's slow. I'm an impatient person. But for what we got so far, I'm impressed. Thank you, guys. Keep on listening. As always, I appreciate it. And keep on rolling.